1450 AM, W299 CD, Richland Center.
start your day off on the right foot with great local programming on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE.
Sammy Kershaw, who had to cancel a couple of recent dates because of laryngitis. Hopefully Sammy's drinking his sweet tea and getting back and getting ready. It currently is 44 degrees on the Wirtz floor and home temperature gauge. An update on the news is next.
Every business faces challenges, but complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping shouldn't be one of them.
With USPS Ground Advantage from the United States Postal Service, you can avoid all the noise.
No more unexpected surcharges, hidden fees, or complex rate structures.
It's just easy, cost-effective, and dependable shipping. Tune your business's frequency to success and turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at usps.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable.
Hey, Bert, did you know it's your choice as a property owner to choose your title insurance company?
No, Holly, I didn't know that. How does that work?
As a property owner, you pay for any title insurance in a refinance or sale transaction on your property. So if refinancing or selling your home, please tell your lender or realtor to contact Southwest Title LLC at 608-647-8841 or stop in at 168 North Main Street for competitive rates on all your title needs.
We look forward to serving you.
Are you looking for quality cattle? Head to the Richland Cattle Center every Wednesday at 11:30. This week's auction includes a herd from Joe Zinzer of Racine County. 25 head of Holstein dairy cows is coming for this auction. AI sired and bred on DHIA test, averaging 75 to 80 pounds daily in the tank. Two purebred Jerseys are also included, plus fresh cows, two-year-olds, milking and bred back cows, springing cows, first calf heifers, bred heifers, open heifers of all ages, and baby heifer and bull calves. For up-to-date listings, visit stadieauction.com. And don't miss the Richland Cattle Center sale at Ithaca every Wednesday starting at 11:30, your source for top-notch cattle.
WRCO 100.9 FM, Richland Center.
News at 6:30 is sponsored by Court & Main Furniture & Mattress, helping you create the home you can't wait to come home to. Today, a mix of clouds and sunshine and a high of 60. Tonight, clear to partly cloudy and a low of 39. Wednesday, partly cloudy and warmer and a high near 70. In Richland Center, it's 44 degrees.
We are so happy to say that we have welcomed Marshfield Furniture to our store. Court & Main just got a little bit better. Exceptional furniture uniquely suited to your tastes and lifestyle is a result of their passion for craftsmanship, quality, and excellence. With 120 fabric options and 48 leather options, they create custom furniture to fit your style and home. So many different collections to choose from, we just know there is something for everyone. Only at Court & Main in downtown Richland Center, open 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday and 9 to noon on Saturdays.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I am Phil Nee. Here is what you need to know. Two Dodgeville teens who were reported missing last week were found safe in Iowa, police said yesterday. Holly Girton, 16, and Jonathan Lindahl, 17, were reported to have left Dodgeville on April 1st. They were seen at the Belmont Travel Center later that day, and police said there was a potential sighting of them in Delavan on April 4th. On Monday, Dodgeville police said both teens were located safe in Iowa. Police did not say where in Iowa they were found. President Joe Biden has a new plan to reduce student loan debt. During remarks yesterday at Madison College, Biden said it will target those in most need of relief. Biden said that the ability for working middle-class people to repay their student loans has become so burdensome that many can't repay even decades after being in school. A previous plan to send $20,000 to all student loan borrowers was rejected by the conservative majority on the U.S. Supreme Court. The White House is hoping the new smaller-scale plan will be enacted. Governor Tony Evers has vetoed a bill that would have allowed younger teens to work without permits. The Republican-authored measure would have eliminated a requirement for 14- and 15-year-olds to obtain work permits. In Madison on Monday, Evers told the Wisconsin State Council of Machinists that it would have rolled back child labor protections, removed parental notifications, and undermined child labor law enforcement. He said it wasn't a serious proposal to address Wisconsin's workforce challenges, as Republicans had maintained. This is the 189th bill the Democratic governor has vetoed. That's 22 more than any other governor in state history. The Wisconsin DNR wants you to be bear aware. It's that time of year again when bears are emerging, and the Department of Natural Resources has recommendations to avoid attracting them to your home. Remove bird feeders even during daytime hours. Reduce smells from trash and recycling containers. Limit the amount of times pets and pet food are left outside unattended. Be conscious of attractants in spaces like grills and picnic tables, and of course, avoid feeding or interacting with black bears. There's more information, including what to do if you encounter a bear, at the DNR Bear Management page. The Richland School Board Administrator Steve Board reported the official referendum results at last night's Richland School Board meeting. Question 2, involving capital improvements at a cost of $27 million, passed by a slimmer margin than reported on election night following the canvassing on Thursday. Question 2 passed by 8 votes, 1,156 to 1,148. Question 1, allowing the district to exceed the levy limit over the next 4 years for a total of $9.8 million, passed 1,223 to 1,076, a difference of 147 votes. Board stated that the district will soon begin moving forward with the improvements in a transparent bidding process. He added that this is the largest expense in building projects the district has moved forward with, as the high school, when it was built, was $15 million. It was also reported that the next steps in the capital referendum timeline generally include hiring contractors and architects, writing specifications, and creating bids for projects. These processes will likely run into the fall and winter of 2024. The most significant opportunity to begin referendum construction projects will be in the spring and summer of 2025. If the school year started and ended earlier than usual, it would naturally allow more days for contractors to work. Wisconsin state statutes prohibit school calendars from beginning prior to September 1st. There is a waiver process through the Department of Public Instruction. One of the potential reasons for a waiver to begin school before September 1st is for construction in school buildings. The consensus among board members was that it was too late in the year for any changes to next year's calendar. Joanna Ford, 31, of Mineral Point, was sentenced last week in Iowa County Court for the death of a four-month-old child in her care. Wyatt Hamlin suffered a severe traumatic brain injury while in her care. Ford was sentenced to 10 years in prison with 10 years of extended supervision on a charge of neglecting a child causing death. She was also sentenced to 1 year of prison time and 2 years of extended supervision for each of the four child neglect charges against her to be served consecutively, with the time being served for homicide. Joanna Ford was also sentenced to 1 year jail time to be served in the Wisconsin prison system on a retail theft charge. She was also ordered to pay $281 in restitution to Walmart. She will be credited for 55 days served. The sale of unsafe lighters is now banned in Wisconsin. Governor Tony Evers visited the Pittsville Elementary School last week to sign Assembly Bill 917. It prohibits the sale of counterfeit and unsafe lighters. This will help combat the dangerous rise in knockoff lighters that fail testing standards. Pittsville Fire Chief Jerry Miner has been working to see this bill put into action for the past 16 years. After a fire tragedy in 2008, Chief Miner, students from Pittsville Elementary, and several first responder organizations advocated to state lawmakers to ban the sale of certain lighters. Governor Evers said this bipartisan legislation will help keep unsafe lighters off the shelves to help keep our kids safe across Wisconsin while improving and promoting fire safety, reducing fire play, and helping prevent fires from starting in the first place.
If your driveway or parking lot is looking tired and in need of some maintenance, the best choice is Wiscoat of Lone Rock. Wiscoat, local people committed to the local area and committed to the best customer service possible. Using the best products and techniques, Wiscoat will clean, edge, patch, seal cracks, and apply seal coating. Call now for your free estimate and get your job scheduled for next spring. 608-354-7690. 608-354-7690. Visit Wiscoat.com or check Facebook for Wiscoat. Dakota Blown Rock.
Right now, 43 degrees and partly cloudy conditions. We're heading toward a high of 60 with a mix of clouds and sun today and a west wind around 10. Tonight, clear to partly cloudy, a low of 39. Wednesday, partly cloudy and warmer, a high near 70. Wednesday night, clouds thicken, a low of 45, and some showers possible on Thursday with a high of 57. The right now wind is around 5 miles per hour. Barometer is at 29.85, up slightly today. After an earlier reading today, which was about 48 degrees at midnight, we are down from that to the current mark, the overnight low. It is 43 degrees.
Don't let urologic problems affect your quality of life. Gunderson Bosquel's board-certified urologist, Dr. Katie Trandum, brings help and hope to Bosquel. Dr. Trandum specializes in conditions affecting the bladder, kidneys, prostate, and urinary tract in children and adults and provides expert care close to home. To schedule a urology consult with Dr. Trandum, talk to your provider today. Gunderson Bosquel, bringing love plus medicine to you.
Sports Time today is sponsored by Simon's Recreation Complex, Richland Center's public indoor swimming pool and fitness center, and by the Homesteader Store, Southern Wisconsin's tractor experts. A recap of yesterday's high school games. There were a number of them in the area. A look ahead at today's schedule. A loss by the Brewers and a wild one last night in Cincinnati, opening up the four-game series as well.
Kubota has the industry-leading BX Series subcompact tractor. Hi, this is Rick from the Homesteader Store. BX Tractor is a real tractor in a small package. It is diesel-powered, four-wheel drive, hydrostatic transmission, power steering, allowing a novice to operate it like a pro. It can have a loader, mower, backhoe, and three-point attachments. Kubota has various rebates and great long-term financing. See the full line of Kubota products at the Homesteader Store, Highway 14 East, or at homesteaderstore.com.
Yesterday in high school baseball, the Ithaca baseball team won 6-3 over visiting North Crawford. It was the first game of the year for the Bulldogs, who were called off because of wet grounds three times last week. North Crawford got the early 1-0 lead and tied it at 2 in the fourth. Ithaca winning pitcher sophomore Devin Eim worked six innings, yielding six hits, striking out six and walking three. Senior Micah Salisbury pitched the final inning, striking out two to help preserve the win. Cody Burns had three RBIs for the Bulldogs. His two-run home run in the fourth broke the tie and gave Ithaca enough to win. Wyatt Hilby had two hits and scored a run. Micah Salisbury doubled in a run and scored. Miles Candler pitched five innings for North Crawford and gave up seven hits, walked six, and struck out four. Landon Blaha walked one, struck out one, and did not allow a hit in one inning of work. Blaha hit a solo home run in the sixth. Sawyer Saluka was 2-for-3 with an RBI for North Crawford. Elsewhere yesterday, Wazika Steuben with a shutout win over the DeSoto Pirates, 12-0. It was a win for Weston, 16-2 over Kickapoo in five innings. Isaac Jennings got the win on the hill, going all five innings, allowing two runs on six hits, one walk, and eight strikeouts. Leaders at the plate, Hunter Coy, 2-for-2 with four RBIs. Corbin Gross, 2-for-2 with four RBIs. Garrett Granger, 2-for-4 with two RBIs. And Garrett Jennings was 2-for-4 as well, leading Weston. It was a win for Dodgeville over Riverdale yesterday in a non-conference game in Muscadet, 15-5. Logan Cagle led the Chieftains, going 2-for-3 with two RBI, while Carson Kenyon drove in a pair of runs. Prairie du Chien, 10-5 over East Dubuque. It was a win for Mauston over GET, 7-3. Lancaster, 3-0 over Potosi-Cassville. Iowa Grant, 9-2 over Schulzburg-Benton. Belmont, 16-2 over Southwestern. And it was a win for Portage over Richland Center, 10-4 on the Diamonds yesterday. Softball action. Wazika Steuben, 12-0 over DeSoto. Cuba City, 8. Iowa Grant, 4. Cashton, 2-0 over Hillsboro. Brookwood, 14. Nacita, 3. Boscobel, 5-0 over Darlington. Bangor, 6. New Lisbon, 1. Mineral Point, 9-3 over Southwestern. In baseball today, we'll have coverage from Richland Center High School as the Hornets will play host to Weston. That is a 5 o'clock start time today on FM 100.9. And also Ithaca travels to Potosi-Cassville. Riverdale is at Boscobel and Cuba City at Darlington. Fenimore at Southwestern. Mineral Point at Iowa Grant. Also today in softball, Lafarge at Cashton. Platteville at Prairie du Chien. Lancaster at Richland Center. Dodgeville visits River Valley. Riverdale at Seneca. Brookwood at Wazika Steuben and Wisconsin Dells at Westfield. The Tuesday Men's Golf League will have a preseason meeting tonight at 6 o'clock at Quail Run. The meeting is open to golfers in the area that want to play in the league, both new members and past members. Trailing 8-0 after four innings, the Brewers closed within a run at 9-8, but wound up losing the first game of a four-game series at Cincinnati last night. Aaron Ashby was the losing pitcher in the 10-8 contest between National League Central Division teams. As Milwaukee tried to rally from way behind, it got home runs from Christian Yelich and Bryce Tarang. Ashby gave up eight runs in 3 2/3 innings, with four of them earned. Sloppy defense last night, says manager Pat Murphy.
Yeah, we really have played incredible defense up until this point. We didn't have a good night there, but you know, again, that's going to happen, and we put ourselves in position to come back. It just wasn't enough. Had some great at-bats, had the right attitude, and you know, there's a million things we could have done better.
San Diego beat the Cubs by a score of 9-8 last night. Philadelphia over the Cardinals, 5-3. Minnesota lost to the Dodgers, 4-2, and Cleveland topped the White Sox, 4-0. Both the Celtics and the Bucks could be missing at least one starter when they visit together today at the Fiserv Forum. Giannis Antetokounmpo is dealing with a hamstring issue, and Milwaukee wants to make sure he is ready for the playoffs. There are just four games left in the regular season as the teams wind down the year. Also, in sport news, UConn deliver the latest of its suffocating basketball beatdowns, smothering Purdue for a 75-60 victory to become the first team since 2007 to capture back-to-back national championships. Tristan Newton scored 20 points for the Huskies, who won their 12th straight March Madness game. That's an update on sports for a Tuesday morning. I'm Phil Nee.
Which group do you belong to? The 20% or the 80%? 20% of people exercise regularly and 80% don't. Hi, this is Tracy, letting you know whichever group you
This last year in Phi-Ed, physical education at River Valley High School, we couldn't find a teacher to fill that job vacancy. There are so few people going into certain specified fields that it's really hard to fill them. And so some of those high need areas are physical education and health. Agriculture is really hard to fill. Science is hard to fill. Higher level math courses, to find teachers for those, are hard to fill. So it just depends on what field of study that a teacher applicant is digging into. But certain ones are really hard to fill, and it's getting harder and harder for districts to complete that whole process during the summer to make sure that every classroom has that qualified educator in it when the kids come busting back in September.
And we don't see the teachers staying, like until they retire, like their only job, as much as we used to. Right?
Correct. That is correct. And you see teachers that if you can get a new teacher in and care for them well, if they can make it through the first 5 years, statistically, we know they're going to be a teacher. But if they don't get that solid start, they're going to kind of drift away from education pretty quickly. So somebody that comes into education and tries it on and then looks at it and goes, whew, this is way harder than I thought, they usually drift away pretty fast. So those first 3 to 5 years are really crucial for a young educator in their profession. So we want to make sure every new teacher gets brought in and gets well taken care of so that they want to be in the field of education, because it's a calling. We love what we do in education. We love helping the kids grow and get ready for their next steps, but it's a calling. It's not easy. For sure, it's not easy. And if I have to go to a state school, which there was just stats out on the rising costs of going to the UW, if I have to take out $50,000+ worth of loans to come out of school to make $40,000, a lot of young kids look at that as a losing venture. So they really have to think wisely and carefully about what they're investing in their education to make sure they're coming out on the plus side. So we're doing our very best to help kids find the best path, but we're also, once we get a new teacher in, we're really trying to take care of them so that they can stick with it and really prove to put their years in for that career.
Gone are the days where you look at filling those posts in the summertime. I mean, anymore, I think you got to strike pretty quickly, don't you?
You do have to strike quickly. So the vacancies that I'm finding, we are trying to interview for those jobs very quickly so that we can get them in, get them signed, make sure that they're ready to go. But another problem that we have in the rural schools is once they sign on the dotted line, some of them will call us back in a month and say, oh, I got a better job somewhere else, and they're going to give me a little bit more money. And so they come and they pay their fine and off they go. And then the vacancies open again. And in one circumstance last year, we had a job that opened 3 times where we hired 3 different people for that one certain job. And it just transitioned. Somebody hired, we signed them on the line. They accepted the job. You start working with them. They get another job. They leave. You put it back out there, you get another person, you sign them on the line, they're in, we're excited to have them, they left, we got another person in. So it's not hiring one in an economy where so many people are so mobile. People move and go so quickly that sometimes these jobs transition multiple times in one summer. So it's a lot of hiring and a lot of HR stuff, but again, you do it for the kids and you do your best and try to find the right person for the job.
It sort of reminds me of the way college sports have gone, like a transfer portal or something.
Yeah, So. Well, and there's so many things that have changed in education. Again, I've talked about the history of education, but there's so many mandates that come along with education nowadays, whether it's curricular standards or social service needs, whether it's the needs of an English language learner or standardized testing, which is out in every district probably this week and next week. Everybody's taking the forward exam or the pre-ACT. So there's all these standardized testing things that come forward. There's teacher certification changes, financial literacy changes. As I talked before, ADA design and requirements there. There's so many things that are required of public schools. We just have to be ready to go. We have to be ready to go with the punches so that we're ready and flexible to transition on a dime. And I think that's what I hope the public hears more than anything, is that education is not the same as it was, and that we are ready and willing to change with the future, but we just need you to be highly educated as our public to understand many changes have happened and will continue to happen, and we're just going to go with it to the best of our ability.
Lots to be proud of. Yes. Your FFA students were here not too long ago, and a strong chapter there. And I'm always impressed with what they're doing too.
Yeah, we've got incredible teams, whether it's the fine arts. So I always tout the 4 A's in the Valley. We've got strong academics. We've got strong agriculture education. We've got strong arts education. And we have strong athletics. We've got high engagement in all 4 of those areas. So lots to be proud of. We're very, very lucky. things are going to fly. Like I said before, May 15th, which is just less, it's a little over a month away, that's going to be scholarship night. Hmm. And from scholarship night on the 23rd is our students' last day, and then we have graduation on the 25th. So it's all going to fly. We're again, only 7 weeks away from graduation in Valley, and those things are going to just happen so quickly that I just want everybody to smile and be ready for the great ride that they're about to jump on.
Indeed. So where do you go from here then? Is it in the hands of the school board, River Valley, about referendums and possibilities and surveys and things like that?
Absolutely. So there will be a survey coming out to the public. And again, I want the public to make sure they stay engaged, because we're only as good as the public impression out there. So we want to make sure that they give us their honest feedback. So there will be a survey coming back out to our voters that asks them about, where do you live? But also, can you give us reasons why you voted yes or no? And then tell us what we should be doing differently. It's not going to be a complicated survey, but it's really going to be around that idea of, did we ask the wrong questions? Did we ask for too much? Did we ask at the wrong time? Those kind of things. So we will have a survey coming out this Thursday. We'll be having that conversation as a school board. And from there on, we'll decide what comes next. I'm proud and happy to work in the River Valley School District. I will continue to be there and work really hard. But again, we've got to figure out where we go next, because the needs that are truly there are not going to go away. They don't vanish. There are huge needs there. And so some of that remodeling and renovation just has to continue to be looked at.
Would it be possibly later this year for another referendum, or not until next year?
Not until next year. Mm-hmm. It is a state statute that a district can only ask two questions per year.
Okay.
So we just asked two questions. So for the year proper of 2024, we're done. Right. But as it flips over to 2025, then we can reconsider and pose more questions for our public.
Well, we hope people, if they have questions in the district, that they come forward and you'd be glad to talk to them.
Absolutely. Come on over for a cup of coffee. I'd be happy to sit with them.
Always good stuff, Lauren. We appreciate you coming in.
Thanks so much, Phil.
You bet. We'll see you next month then. And we'll be even closer to that high school graduation and all that stuff. So.
Absolutely. It's going to be great. And I hope I will have some announcements about some of those senior scholarships that night, too. So I'll be able to talk about some of the great things that are being awarded to the students of River Valley as they venture off on their next steps.
I'm always impressed, too, at the amount of money that is available to those students. And it's so great because those awards nights are just astonishing.
Yeah, the River Valley High School team does an incredible job on our scholarship awards night. So it's a really fun community affair. And and again, we want every kid, whether they're going off into the trades or going off to college, to have the same celebration for their wonderful skills. So we try to celebrate everybody here at the end of the year, especially our seniors venturing off into the world. And like I said before, many of them will come right back.
Indeed. Well, enjoy the spring.
Thank you, Phil.
We'll see you soon. Lauren Glassbrenner, District Administrator of River Valley, on today's morning show.
Welcome to Pratt Chat. Pratt Chat is a service of the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service of Richland Center in Muscadet. Join us each week for a conversation with Mark Jelenic of the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service for answers to questions that we're all hesitant to ask. Pratt Chat is sponsored by the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service.
Mark Jelenic, we have some more questions for you today. So what happens if a death occurs overseas?
Sure. So what happens if, let's say you're on vacation and you're overseas and death happens? What will happen is the local medical examiner or the coroner, whatever that particular country has for their death investigation, will take your body, try to figure out if they don't know who you are or who your next of kin is. So at that point, the person either in the other country would call back to us. We would then facilitate and coordinate with that country of how to get your body back to us. So what we do is a lot of times the embassies get involved in order to get bodies transferred overseas, either to America or out of America. So if let's say a death happens here and we have to ship overseas, what would happen is we would get a hold of the local embassy of that country. The closest embassies are usually in Chicago. We call them up. They help us with the paperwork of how do we get that person overseas. Are they going to be in a casket? Are they going to be cremated? Those rules change on what is allowed, what is not allowed. With cremated remains, we've had to have all the documents translated into that other language. So then we need to find somebody that can translate English into the language that of the country that we are going to go to is an option. We also have to figure out the airports. If we're going to fly within the United States, you're allowed to do certain things. Funeral homes understand how to do that. But it's the same thing as going through customs with a body. What does that country allow you to do? What do they not allow you to do? So a lot of times, if you die overseas, you can call the funeral home back in America or have the family get a hold of us. We will then find that person's body. We'll talk to our representatives here in that country's embassy, who will then facilitate to get that person out of that country back to America. So it is something, it's not easy. It takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of different organizations to be involved with that. What is allowed to come home with that body? What is allowed to be shipped out with that body? So certain things, it's only the body, maybe with a hospital gown. Sometimes objects are allowed to be put with you. A lot of times objects are not allowed to be put with you because they just want the body, because we have to get through customs and other things that go along with it. If you fly in the United States, let's say you happen to die in Arizona and you want to come back to Wisconsin, that's a lot simpler thing to facilitate because it's within the country. So we could talk to a funeral home down there. Once again, we locate the body. We figure out what we need to do to get out of the state, either for paperwork, what they require, what the airlines require. And then the funeral home will call the airlines and we'll set up flights. We'll get you flown back to our closest airport that will accept bodies, which from Richland Center is Milwaukee, because not all airports will even accept people. Madison does not, La Crosse does not, Milwaukee does, Chicago does, and Minneapolis does. So we have to kind of facilitate that with the different airlines, where they're coming out of. But getting into and out of another country does pose a lot of issues, because we have to follow the rules of that country. We have to figure out who's in charge of that country, where their representatives are at. So it is quite a process. It's a very doable thing. We also suggest to people that do travel a little bit, it doesn't even have to be a lot, is that you look into like a traveler's insurance, where if death happens in another country, they will actually get your body back home. They'll take care of all the fees. They'll pay everything. They'll pay for your flights, your transportation, everything like that, where you may not die overseas, but for a few hundred dollars, the amount of money that it can take to get a body back from overseas can be quite substantial. So if it's something that you do travel quite a bit, we highly recommend that you look into a traveler's insurance. Most of them are a one-time payment and they're good till the day you die. You know, if it's in a year or in 50 years, they're always good to get you back home. So it is quite a process.
Is the body embalmed at that other funeral home, that other location then?
So it can be, but a lot of times embalming is a very United States process. It's not a worldwide process. So some countries don't embalm. So we might have to find an embalmer in that country, or the embassy will, to get that body to the country. Some religions don't believe in embalming. So how do we get that body overseas without an embalming? So that's something we have to work through, is what are the rules of the country? What are the religious rules? Most of the time, for a body to be put on an airplane, the airlines do want you embalmed. And since we're in the United States, we have to follow a lot of United States rules. But that doesn't necessarily mean if you die in China, that China is going to have those same rules about how to get that body back to us. So we're going to have to kind of work through the rules of the country. If you do want to be embalmed, does the country even embalm? It's not a worldwide thing. So it's one of those things where it might happen, it might not happen, but we have to work through that at the time. It's a lot easier if we can get someone there to take care of it. And some countries will even say, to get on this airline, the airline says you have to be embalmed. So we will find an embalmer somewhere in that country.
Today's Pratt Chat has been sponsored by the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service of Richland Center in Muscadet. For answers to the questions you have, call the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service at